But I just want to say that Jess and I see versions of this show all the time. It's done all over the world, and we get invited to go and see it. And sometimes we see, dare I say, crappy productions. It's not completely actor-proof. These guys tonight were so awesome. And so I just want to congratulate Nick and Dan and Michael for the amazing performance tonight.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you are listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 406, Reduced Touring Origins. We just completed the first weekend of the Reston Extravaganza, the complete works of the Reduced Shakespeare Company Abridged, 7 of our 9 shows in 10 days, and the undeniable highlight of the first 3 nights was our reunion with founding members Daniel Singer and Jess and Saw Winfield, who attended our performance of the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged Revised Saturday night. Daniel and Jess are, of course, the original Reduced Romeo and Reduced Hamlet from the complete works, and you heard Daniel express his admiration for the cast who played it on Saturday, Michael Faulkner, Mick Orff, and Dan Sasky. But afterwards, they sat down for a Q&A with me and Reed Martin in front of the Reston audience, and we talked about what it was like in those first days of the RSC's changing from a pass-the-hat act at Renaissance fairs to a professional touring theater company.
So what was it like? You guys were here the very first time. Can you talk about the booking conference that you first went to? Was it in 1987?
Yeah, it was in 1987 in New York City. There's a conference for regional theaters and community theaters around the country. And we had just gotten back from the Edinburgh Festival, where we premiered an hour-long version of the show. We did it in 60 minutes, where they take almost 2 hours.
and we were so enthused by the response that we got in Edinburgh, but we came home and went, well, now what?
Yeah, and so we went to New York City and booked ourselves a dance studio on 42nd and Broadway, and we bought a couple of big Blimpie sandwiches and invited people who were at the convention to come, and one of the proud few was Lila Gordon, who saw us tripping about, spilling. You notice the wipe up of the water here? I still have an old Shakespeare injury from the floor of that dance studio because the nurse's water got on the stage and I slipped during the football game and landed the old rotator cuff.
The old Shakespeare injury. That's
interesting. So we came to Reston for the very first time, and it was sort of our, aside from the Edinburgh Festival, our first gig in a professional theater where people were in fact paying us to perform. And before the show, they had paid us after the show because we were past the hat act up until then. But I remember very vividly coming to the loading dock in the back with what our set was at the time, which was, this is the grand backdrop. We had one that was about the size of the red curtain area behind us that we did all of our prop and costume changes behind. And there was Saw and Daniel and Adam and I, and we showed up to load in, and the crew went, wait a minute, where's the company? Where's the troop? Where's all this stuff? No, it's just us and our check-on baggage with swords in it, and swords and a dummy.
And Saw, you were the original props and costume goddess of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. And did you guys meet, did you start working with the guys at the Ren Faire? Is that where you guys met?
We met there, but that's not when we started doing stuff together. I was working at the fair. They were working at the fair. Then the show was going to happen, and they said, we need some stuff. Can you make some stuff for us? Yeah. Oh, and we want to do the show. Will you help us backstage? And I'm like, sure. I've never done that before in my life.
Really? Really? You had never done it before?
I've never been a dresser. I've never been a prop builder.
And you can only imagine what it's like from the backstage person's point of view during this show. It's incredible chaos back there. You've got these manic actors running back, throwing off that outfit, grabbing that one, and going out, and she's just standing there back there going,
Don't hurt me.
It's especially difficult the first time that we did it, because it had never been done before. Nobody knew how it was going to go. I remember we had, for Titus Andronicus, at that opening show, we did a little premiere out in California, one show before we went to Edinburgh, and we had real fake blood. We had red corn syrup that was
homemade
everywhere.
Not the professional grade.
Wow.
Yeah. So I remember coming back. This is out in the middle of nowhere, and I remember coming backstage after Titus Andronicus, and it's only 20 minutes into the show, and I'm covered in corn syrup. I'm like, Saw, we need hot towels.
She's like, we were in a barn.
Well, and I expressed amazement earlier because now this is kind of what you do. You are a craftsman, an artisan, and a costume designer for Todd Rundgren, among other things. Am I right?
It is true.
So it's become a thing for you.
It's become a thing.
If someone was interested in seeing your stuff, where might they be able to see that, Saw?
Well, you can go like my Facebook page, yes. Deepwater Designs. And I post stuff and pictures of my work.
I'm liking you right now.
Nice.
Nice.
By the way, I have to say one thing, too, just a correction to that. I know that bits of costumes and sets have been done over the years, but still, the one who really created the quick change-ness of the show and made it all happening on opening night and for 3 years thereafter, all by herself, and it was the three boys and her on tour everywhere. And Saw Winfield, still her prop and set and prop and costume design is throughout this show.
So nice.
Shout out to my wife.
Yes, 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 yes.
And just along those lines, who designed this beautiful backdrop? Might he be on stage?
I'd like to point out that it wasn't me.
Okay.
And it also wasn't the person who's noted in the program for the set design.
Well, I'm glad I asked.
No, a very talented fellow named Kent Elofsson, who passed away a couple of years ago, whose design is just brilliant. I don't know how many of these have been painted over the years, but every time I see it, and I have the concept art that Kent originally painted over my fireplace in a beautiful frame now, because I just think it's stunning and it's great to see it.
It is.
But would you please fix the program and put Kent's name back in?
We will. On it.
Everybody,
on it.
Would you just right now?
Yeah,
get out of pen. Just take out your program and where it says Sean Welland, just scratch that out.
He was a really nice guy. I'm sure he still is.
Yeah.
Now, he had nothing to do with it.
So this was in 1987, was the first time you guys came here. Then you came back in 1988. Were you back here in 1989, or had you?
Yeah, 1989 was my last year. I retired that year.
You retired that year. So then, Reed, your first performance here was in 19.
I joined the company, I think, in November of 89.
Okay.
And I think my first show was at Pepperdine, and I think my second show was here, second or third show. My second or third show, I think we may have done a two-person version.
That's what Lila was recalling. I conveniently blocked that out.
Well, I barely knew my own part, which was Daniel's role. And I think this is where you had come back from Greece. You'd gone to Europe and your contacts.
Yeah.
Do you remember the story?
Yes, it's coming back. Now it's coming back.
The painful memories.
I was dying to have you tell this story because we've told it so many times, but now I'm worried that you don't remember because you were so drugged.
I had been to Europe. This was our first show on a tour. I think we'd done one other one. And that was back in the days when you could, the extended wear contacts, they said you could leave them in for 30 days at a time, and I foolishly believed that. I was on a plane, it got right out, and the contact lens kind of stuck to my eye, and they had to do that number on it. So I was
gross.
In an eye patch and could barely walk and read. And Reed stepped in with the rarely performed two-man version of
with Adam. And so basically Adam did about two-thirds of the show. And we had some voiceover by the stage management, and we got through it.
What's funny is that when you take the Adam character out of the Hamlet, it becomes the Polonius family show. because there's no Claudius, there's no Gertrude.
Oh, very good.
Hello, I'm Tim Fitzheim, and you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSE the RSE? We have 5 performances left this week in our unprecedented Reston Extravaganza, the complete works of the Reduced Shakespeare Company Abridged. Plus, we'll have scattered performances of the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged Revised in the UK from September 18th to November 20th, performances of the complete history of Comedy Abridged across the U.S., and the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged Revised at the Wuxian Festival in China in October. A month of performances of the complete history of Comedy Abridged at the Marin Theater Company in November and December, and performances of the Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged across the U.S. in December. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. And now back to our Q&A with Daniel Singer and Jess and Saw Winfield. When we opened up the floor to questions, the first one from the audience was, why, in the complete works of William Shakespeare, are all the volunteers and stage managers referred to as Bob?
That's so far back in the mists of time of the creation of this show. I think it came from when we were first touring, and we didn't have our own stage manager or lighting director with us, and we never necessarily knew who the guy in the light booth was. So right. We just started calling him Bob, and then
everybody became Bob.
And then when we added the entire audience participation section into the show, mm-hmm. One night in the dressing room before going on stage at the Geffen Playhouse in Los Angeles, Adam said, "Hey, you know, what if we did a little thing here where we divided the audience? Like, oh, okay,
let's try.
You'd be amazed at how many bits in this show were written moments before a performance.
Yeah. Now, you were saying that the original version was an hour long.
Yeah.
Through the mists of time, what I've heard is one of the to take it out on tour, you can't tour a one-hour show and charge full price. So you need a long show. Most venues want an intermission so they can sell things. And so how did you deal with that, if that's correct?
We padded it. we added the audience participation bit in the middle of Hamlet, and the 3 opening speeches of the airplane show, as we call it, with the oxygen mask, and Adam's history of William Shakespeare that gets confused with Hitler, and Jess's ever-lengthening scholarly
thesis. I'll tell a short story about that. When we premiered our one-hour version in Edinburgh in 1987, we actually had an opening act. We were a one-hour show, but we had 3 friends of ours, 3 women who performed contact dance. And they told us the name of their troupe was the Sisterhood of Latter-day Bozos. And we thought, what a great act to get the audience rolling, and it just sounds great. And their show was dreadful. It was just... We opened our show, and these 3 women in leotards were like throwing around a big inflated earth, and it was very serious. And
the BBC called it the most miserable piece of performance art it has ever been my misery to witness.
So Jess and Adam and I were sitting in the lobby watching people leave, and we had to stop them and say, oh, you gotta get back to your seat because we're going on in just a few minutes and our show is really funny. And so we would promise them that the show coming up would be really fun. So while the girls were changing into their next little outfit for their next little contact dance moment, we would go out to the audience and say, hey, who's ever seen a Shakespeare play before? Let's see a show of hands. We would just ad-lib just to keep people in their seats. That all became what is now the opening of the show.
And the audience participation section as well.
Yeah. Now, we're sometimes asked, why aren't there any women performing in the troupe? Women backstage, we have women general managers and office managers. Can you tell us the story of, my understanding is there was a woman when it started at the very beginning at the Ren Faire, and then that changed rather quickly.
So now you have to set your way back machine for 1981. Okay. I know most of you weren't born then, but when our Hamlet, our half an hour Hamlet first debuted at the Renaissance Fair when we were children, we had a cast of 4 doing Hamlet, and Ophelia and Gertrude were played by Barbara Reinertsen, a lovely actress who did a great job, but on the 3rd weekend of the Renaissance Fair, she stepped in a hole and tore the ligaments in her ankle, and we had to cancel the rest of the shows that weekend, and she came back the following weekend in a cast that literally...
Much like Austin Titchener is sporting.
Yeah, picture Austin in a cast that went all the way up to his hip. I mean, she was on painkillers, she could barely move. And Jess found his friend Adam and put him in the show as an understudy, and Adam was hysterically funny. And Barbara was so mortified by the fact that she had been so quickly replaced that the following weekend she insisted on being put back into the show, walking in her cast and grimacing terribly with every step. So we loved Barbara, and we loved putting her back in the show, but her days were numbered because Adam was so superb in the show.
She had a great swan song, though. At the very last show of that season, we did a dueling Ophelias show, and Barbara and Adam both played Ophelia, knocking each other out of the way to do scenes, and it climaxed with that. We had a balcony on that stage. It climaxed with Barbara pouring a bucket of water on Adam from above during the drowning scene, not in a theatrically kind way.
Very good. Yes, right here.
How much
do people pay for the privilege of walking in late? No, people did not pay for that privilege.
They paid in a different way.
Yeah. We paid it a different
they
way.
They were just late.
Yes. Yeah, in some of the shows we emphasize that more than others. Yeah. But we've got whole bits. We can go on for 10 or 15 minutes of latecomers if we want.
It's a nice comment to make, though, because you can see how much give and take there is at any given show. No two performances are ever alike. And the cast always has an arsenal of things to say to the audience or react to a given situation. And tonight was a great example of that. Yeah. I was kind of waiting as I hear the show rolling in my head, there's certain things I expect to hear during a performance. And several of them didn't happen tonight. But then 20 more things happened tonight that I didn't expect. It was fantastic.
Well, and we were just spent a month in Edinburgh performing The Complete History of Comedy Abridged. And we were talking about the fact that the Edinburgh Fringe Festival has such a fantastic vibe of performance and interactivity between the performers and the audiences, much like the Ren Faire days. But now you get back to this country and you perform in professional venues, and there isn't that vibe. And I think one of the great things that the Reduced Shakespeare Company does, that you guys started, is bring that Ren Faire Festival fringy vibe to serious professional theaters, and it's lovely. And just watching it tonight, when I was watching it, it's just fun to see all that interactivity. And Mick Gorff can really go off on an audience, can he?
Yeah.
This is what we learned.
And I'm a little bit scared of Mick.
I know. We kind of all are.
You can't get your purse stolen at the Kennedy Center, I'm just saying.
No, it's really true. There's a hand in the back. Yeah, just a couple more questions. Yeah.
So my question is, when it came time for you to hang up your and Jess staying with you a little while later, what made you guys think of Reed and Austin? What did you guys do back in Berkeley that made you think, those are the guys?
That's a terrific question.
That is a terrific question.
Daniel left first, and he, at the time, it was like John Lennon is leaving the Beatles. We're like, you know, we literally thought, no, we're the only people who could do this, and we treated ourselves as a rock band more than a Shakespeare company. So I knew Reed at UC Berkeley. We were in an improvisation class together that was taught by a woman from Amsterdam, Shireen Stroker, who basically threw us into a dark box and made brilliance come out. And the one thing that I saw Reed do that I knew he would be perfect for this was he was playing the king. You were playing a king in Ondine, and he had a robe that was beaded. And the queen walked past him and cut the string. And the beads during his scene started falling off one by one. Plink, 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 plink. And he was wearing these big, you know, Coke bottle glasses that made him look cross-eyed. And everybody in the audience was breaking up. The people on stage with him were breaking up, and not a smile cracked his face. He was perfectly, perfectly straight man. And so when Rover here left, I knew we needed someone who could, you know, that's the anchor part of the show. He's constantly dragging people in. I'm like, Reed is our man. Plus, he had just come from clown college, and he could swallow fire and play the accordion. So that was it.
And then what did you think of me?
Yeah, I know. I was going to say. Who are you again?
Doesn't matter. Never mind.
Well, Jess was getting ready to leave. Jess and saw Daniel. We were talking this earlier. I don't know if we said it to the audience, but you guys didn't set out to be professional actors. It turned out to be successful. You didn't really want to be away from home all the time. So Jess and saw were getting ready to leave the troupe, and we were in London doing the Shakespeare show. We were about to start creating the history of America, and so I think Jess and I talked about it because we'd been at Berkeley with Austin, and I said, well, we both knew he was a good actor. We knew he'd been a playwright and director since he left college and was a history major. And so I called Austin and I said, you want to come to London and play Hamlet? And he said, let me think. Yes. Yeah.
I think the history major was actually a big deal because we had started writing a little bit of the history of America, it wasn't getting very far. And we're like, bring in the ringer.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Oh, I wish you could have been there for this Q&A, but I hope this recording captured some of its spirit. Send us your Q's for our A's via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans on our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, returning this weekend to perform with us for the first time in about 4 years in all the great books abridged, Matthew Croke. Music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Amber Donato. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Daniel and Jess and Saw for coming to Reston and sharing this first weekend with us. Special thanks also to Tim Fitzheim, and thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener for 1/6, 1/1/18 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
One more question at the back. Yeah,
what's your favorite joke in the show?
Tonight it was, I have to pee so bad. I laughed so hard.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.